So glad that we have this morning three brave young students of Vanguard College, ECC young people that have agreed to share the Word of God with us this morning. Three 10-minute messages, and it's a privilege to have you guys share. And it really, our first speaker, Brent Warwick, so glad, Brent, that you were able to make it back from the World Championship hockey tournament yesterday. To share with us today. So come on, man. Give him a big round of applause here. You look like Ryan Ellis. You put a blue helmet on. That's you, man. Pretty good, hey? There was a bunch of guys over at our house overnight that Brennan was hosting some friends, and Brent stayed and watched that awesome game yesterday. So.
Why, God, why? This is a phrase we often find ourselves asking in times of trouble. Whether we are wronged by an individual or we are simply going through a rough patch in life, it looks different for everyone at every point in their life. But we can all relate to a time where we found ourselves asking a question such as this. Unsure of why we are going through the things we are going through and unsure of how to respond, we often begin by questioning God. When thinking of times of grief, I'm reminded of a story of our American president, Abraham Lincoln. In February of 1862, Abraham Lincoln's son, Willie, passed away, and his other son, Thomas, had been struck by a serious illness. A nurse who was responsible for the care of the two children reports often hearing Lincoln saying, "This is the hardest trial of my life. Why is it? Why is it?" Throughout her time attending to the children, she had a lot of conversations with Abraham Lincoln. And she told him about losing her husband and her two children. And that despite their passing, she now loves God more than ever. Abraham Lincoln was puzzled by this. How could it be? So he asked her to explain. And she said that through it all, she trusted God. And although it was difficult at first, after a while, she was able to fully submit to God. A short while after the funeral for Lincoln's son, Willie, the nurse asked Lincoln if he felt he could trust God. He replied, "I think I can, and I will try. I wish I had that childlike faith you speak of, and I trust he will give it to me." In what was undoubtedly one of the darkest times of Abraham Lincoln's life, this nurse taught him and a lesson of great importance. The point of this story is not to downplay the grief that President Lincoln or yourself may be going through. Instead, it is to remind us of the need to trust in God in difficult times. Life is full of times of grief, some of which can seem more devastating than others. The Book of Lamentations is full of grief, and as we will see, provides great insight into this topic. The word lament literally means an expression of grief. During the time of the book was written, it was certainly a time to mourn. The city of Jerusalem had just been destroyed in 586 BC, and as a result, many of the Jews were living in exile in Babylon and Egypt, awaiting a time to return to the promised land. If anyone can relate to suffering and knows grief, it's the exiles that were living in Babylon and Egypt. The first 20 verses of Lamentations chapter 3 are filled with reasons that anyone would say justify intense sorrow and grief, as he details what happened to the people of Jerusalem. Yet in the middle of this book of grief, the author says he has hope and describes the faithfulness of his God. This is demonstrated when the lamenter writes in Lamentations 3, 21 to 25, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the ones who seek him." Verse 22 speaks of the compassions of our God. God's compassion is not a one-time deal, But as the author states, they're new every day. It is easy to look at the situation we are facing and wonder how God is showing compassion. As human beings, we have a tendency to look at what is wrong in our situation and dwell on the negative. But when we look at verse 22, it says it provides a different way to look at things. Because of God's never-ending compassion, because God loves us so much, we are not consumed by the situation we find ourselves in. Rather than being eaten away by concentrating on what is wrong, we can reflect on what God has done for us. We are not subject to endless torment. God shows his compassion in his limiting our situation. No matter how difficult our situation gets, we can be confident that the grace of God prevents it from getting worse. Things may be terrible, even the worst they have ever been, but thanks to God's compassion, they are not worse. This is something that should give us hope that our situation can even improve. The author does not merely say that God's compassion never fails. He specifies with compassions in the plural to remind us of the variety that is present in the mercies God pours out on us. It is important to note that even though this is the same man who began this chapter by saying, "I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light." Even someone who is suffering as judgment from God went on to write about the compassions and love of the same God. This is because even as they knew they deserved great judgment, they were also confident that they were not to be consumed as someone judged for sin, but would experience his faithfulness as someone who is under the mercy of God, God's forgiveness. Even when the author had previously questioned God on his faithfulness, he now comes full circle. And he says, God's faithfulness is great, even new every day. When they thought that God's covenant promise had been broken, they realized that it actually continued full force. When those exiled to Babylon and Egypt had lost everything that they once held dear, all their belongings and almost their lives, they chose to remind themselves that they do indeed have something left. "The Lord is my portion," they say. Although the possessions they have on earth are now gone, they recognize that their relationship with God is something that will not end. It lasts forever and is not only one of the few things they have left, but is recognized as all they need. It is for this reason that the passage goes on to say, "Therefore, I will wait on him." When everything else seems to have failed, all support and encouragement, when the grief is overwhelming, recognizing God's faithfulness, having hope and trust in him is the most crucial response we can have. The author does not end by explaining that God should be our portion, but he goes on to say that God is good to those who not only hope in the Lord, but those who seek him. This is not only a reminder of God's goodness, but a promise to those who earnestly seek him. When it seems like there is no end in sight, and things seem only to get more and more worse, it is through our actively trusting in the Lord and in his faithfulness that we are able to have hope. Jeremiah 29:10-11 speaks of the prolonged waiting of these Jews that were in exile when it tells them, "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." This exile that the people were under was a direct result of their response to God, and it was a punishment that would last for the foreseeable future. Yet, God still promised it would work out for their good. If this is true of a nation who continuously rebelled against God, it is certainly true to each of us that though we may not see an end in sight, and the grief in our life may be overwhelming at times, it is through our constant trust in God and the promise he has given us in the Bible that we are to have hope for our situation. It is in times of struggle that we must learn to lean on God rather than turn our backs on him and question why certain circumstances are happening to us. The author of this book is confident in God's ability to enact change in his current situation, and even says that God is good to those who hope in him. I encourage you, no matter how large or small the grief you are feeling in your life, God still cares and he is faithful. And it is through trusting in him in the difficult times that you will be able to see him at work in your life.